for this week. Thank you, church. Let me mention, you can be turning your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. Let me mention this. I appreciate each one who has brought us meals, and food's been great, fellowship's been great, and we appreciate it. Appreciate what God's done in these days. And I'm looking forward to hearing what God's going to do in the days to come. This meeting may be coming to a close, but the work of God is not. Amen. And revival meetings, while they're always sad to see them end, really they're for, not just for this week, they're for the days following. That's the purpose of them. Right. And so we pray that God will just continue the work. And two things to expect as a church. Expect God to work and expect the devil to work. And be prepared for both. Amen? And get it determined in your heart and your mind that you're going to follow the Lord and be like that servant like we heard about last night from the book of Exodus that just says, I love my master. I'm just going to keep on keeping on with my master. Amen? And so appreciate all that's gone on this week. It's been a blessing. And appreciate the offering. We do thank you for that. And it's your offerings and your prayers that keep us going. And we appreciate it greatly. 2 Kings 4, if you found your place, I invite you to stand. I know what time it is. Amen? I did not have supper before church. And I heard that the lasagna was tremendous. And I'm looking forward to partaking of it after I'm done preaching. So I'm a man of a healthy appetite. So don't you worry about the time tonight. And I want your attention. It's 10 till 8. This is kind of the thing that we never, you know, you're never supposed to check your watch in church. Well, I'm telling you what time it is. It's 10 minutes till 8 according to that clock. Yep. And I will be done by 8:15. Yep. Okay? So you have my word. You heard me say it. Yes, I'll be done by 8:15. Now here's the agreement. I preach fast and you listen. Amen?
Yep.
And if you don't listen, I might not be done by 18. But I will. I will. But I really would like your attention just for a few minutes tonight as we finish up the meeting. 2 Kings chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read aloud, you follow along in your Bible. The Bible says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want to preach just a few minutes tonight on this thought, the process of a miracle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your great grace and mercy that you've shown us. Lord, there's not one person in this building that deserves to be standing here in good health, to be hearing the word of God, and to have assurance of a home in heaven. We don't deserve any of that. But we're thankful because of your good grace that we have that assurance. We can have that assurance. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is unsaved, Lord, I pray that you would speak to their hearts. And Lord, already the message has gone forth. And Father, I pray that if they're unsaved or unsure of their salvation, Lord, they get that settled tonight. the Holy Ghost of God would convict them of their sin and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray now in this time that you would help us, give us understanding of this story. Give us understanding as we look in this story. Help us, Lord, to see the truths that can be in our own lives. We're thankful that you preserved your word and you told us that these things that were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And so, God, I pray that you would renew our hope tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see all the truth that you have for us. And Lord, as we look at this miracle and look at the process that took this woman and her two boys to this miracle, Lord, I pray that you would bless the scripture and the truth to our hearts. May Jesus Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This is a well-known miracle during the ministry of Elisha. Elisha, of course, was the servant of Elijah. And when Elijah went to heaven, God took him up in that fiery chariot. And before he went up, Elisha had one request. He said, "I want a double portion of thy spirit." Amen. And God granted him that because he was obedient to the Lord and because he had a desire to do something for God. God, pray tonight that this room is filled with people that have a desire to do something for God. Elisha did not know all that God was going to call him to do or all that God was going to give him to do. But what he did have is he had a heart that was willing and a life that was ready to be used for the Lord. And God used him greatly. As we study the life of Elisha, we see exactly twice as many miracles recorded in the ministry of Elisha as what were recorded from the ministry of Elijah. And that's very interesting when you think about that double portion. Well, this is probably one of the most well-known of the miracles that God used Elisha to do. And really, Elisha had very little hands-on in this miracle. All he did was give her instructions of what the Lord said to do. And really, it's a great picture of our lives. If we will yield ourselves to God, God can use us to be a vessel to show others the power of God and the provision of God. This woman, the Bible says that she comes to Elisha, and she comes to him. We're talking about this process of the miracle, and the first thing I want us to see is this supplication. She comes to him in verse number 1, and she comes to him with her plea. She's asking for help, and she says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." Her husband was one of the sons of the prophets. He was a good man. The Bible says her testimony of him is that he did fear the Lord. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man who had given his life for the ministry, and now he's gone. And now she's left and her two sons. And the Bible says that the creditor is coming. That is the one that she owed money to. He's coming to take unto him her two sons. Now put yourself in this woman's position. Imagine what she's going through. She's lost her husband. Now she's about to lose her sons. They're going to be taken away. And this word bondmen, it means slaves. They're going to be made slaves, and they're going to be in bondage to this creditor, this man that their family owes money to. And so she has no other recourse. But it's good to know that when we're at the end of our resources, God has only begun. Amen? And she goes to the man of God. And what good counsel we learn from her life. She had a need in her life. She didn't go to the government. Right. Yeah. Hope I get an amen right there. She didn't go to her family. We don't know if she had extended family. She didn't go to her peers. We know one thing for sure. She went to the man of God. Right. And she said, "Does God," really she's asking, "does God have a word for me?" And she knew Elisha was not a man of means. He couldn't reach into his pocket and pull out the money that she needed. But she knew that Elisha knew God. And so she goes to Elisha with her supplication. And she's needing God to work in her life. And you know, we're in that position. Amen? I'm in that position tonight. I need God to work in my life. I want God to work in my family's life. The creditor is after our children. Amen? He's after our children. And she does the right thing. She goes to God's man and she looks for help. She looks for supply. And so there's supplication. And then I see, second of all, there's stipulation. Elisha asked her these questions. And there's two questions here. The first one is up for interpretation, I think. He asked, "What shall I do for thee?" Maybe he's just being polite, or maybe he's saying, "What shall I do for thee?" And you know, I've been there before. People come to me and say, "This is my problem," and I don't have an answer. Amen? And one of the most freeing phrases you'll ever learn in your life is, "I don't know." Because most times we don't. Sometimes you try to come up with an answer. But Elisha, he's saying, "What shall I do for thee?" And then the second question, he says, "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she tells him, "There's nothing in the house except for a pot of oil." Then he gives her instructions on what she is to do. These instructions are very specific. These instructions are very detailed. And they're outlined very simply. He tells her to go and borrow vessels abroad of all her neighbors, and to bring those empty vessels, make sure the vessels are empty, bring those empty vessels into her house, and make sure that she closes the door, make sure that she's in the house as well as her two boys are in the house, and all these vessels are in the house, to make sure that she doesn't borrow just a few vessels, but many vessels. And so there's quite a bit of instruction given here, and these instructions are not, they are not optional. Can I say that tonight? When we go to God, and we're looking for help, and we need supply, and we need His work, and we need a miracle, we better make sure that we follow His directions. And so there's these stipulations that Elisha gives to her. Then we see that she submits herself. There's submission here. She submits herself to these instructions. She follows them carefully and specifically. She makes sure that she goes out and gathers all these vessels. The boys are helping her. And then she makes sure that she comes and brings them within the house. She makes sure the door is closed. And then she starts asking for the vessels to be brought to her. Now, when Elisha was giving her this instruction, he did not tell her what was going to happen. He didn't. Now, we know the story so well, we look back on this story, and I think we get a wrong picture in our minds, as we often do when we read the Bible, especially stories that we're well familiar with. We get this idea that she knew what was going to happen because we know what happened. But the fact of the matter is, she had no guarantee of what was going to happen. All she knew is what the man of God told her to do. And she followed those instructions. Notice what he says in verse number 4. He says, "Thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." He didn't specifically say, "You're going to fill up all those vessels." He just said, "Set aside that which is full. Pour out into the vessels." And he told her to pour out into all the vessels, and then set aside that which is full. So I don't know exactly how it happened. And I was just thinking as I was reading tonight, I hadn't thought of this before, but maybe she poured a little bit into all the vessels. That's kind of sounds like the instructions to me. Pour out into all the vessels, and then set aside that which is full. And so she's She's, in my mind, she's pouring out a little bit into all the vessels to make sure that every vessel has a little bit. But when the pot should have been empty, it wasn't. The Bible says the oil stayed.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know if she poured it all out and it was empty, and when she tipped it back up, it refilled. I don't know, free refills. First time in all the Bible right here. Or if she just kept pouring and it just kept on coming. I don't know how it happened. Doesn't really matter. What matters is God worked a miracle. There's no doubt at all that this was a divine act of God on her behalf. So as she submits to the instructions that God has given her, God supplies for her and provides her salvation. But what I want us to see in this miracle with the time that we have left is something that preceded all of this. Before the salvation, before the submission, before the stipulation, before the supplication, there was something else that took place, and it was very important. Say, what was that? It was subtraction. Notice when the man of God answers her, or asks her the question, "What hast thou in the house?" She answered with this, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now, I believe the Bible to be true. I believe this record that this woman gave concerning her house to be true. I believe when she said, "There's nothing in my house," I believe that's exactly the condition her house was in. That means the furniture was gone. That means the pantry was empty. That means the meat cellar, that was empty. That means all of the little knickknacks on the wall and the pictures and the books and whatever else she had in the house, it was all gone. There was nothing left in her house except a pot of oil, which I find to be significant. Amen? Because oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. And you know, this world, the creditors can come, they can take a lot of stuff from us. They can take everything we own. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people worried about that right now. Listen, they can take all your stuff. They can even take your family. But I'll tell you one thing they can't take. They cannot take the Lord. Amen. And so there's nothing in this house, but there's a pot of oil. The creditors come, you say, "Why is her house empty?" Well, I believe it's very obvious to me. The reason why her house is empty is because the creditor has made more than one trip to her house. She owes this man money, and he's coming and he's taking all of the things out of her house to pay her debt. But apparently all that she has is not enough to supply and pay off the debt. So he's taken everything. And now it's come down to the point where he's going to take her sons. There's subtraction going on in her life. And many times we're asking God to work in our lives, and we fail to realize that along with the supplication and the stipulations and submission and the salvation, before all of that comes along, in the plan of God, there will be subtraction as well. The reason being because as long as we have all of these things, many times we do not look to the Lord.
Right.
We're trusting in the things. We're trusting in what we have. We're trusting in our abilities. We're trusting in our tradition. We're trusting in our wisdom and in our power and in our provision.
Yeah.
And God many times has to take those things or allow those things to be taken from our lives so that we'll look to Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe as a nation, God is doing this in our nation.
Right.
He is working a process of subtraction from our lives because we have so long
leaned upon our own understanding. We've leaned upon our own provision, our own wisdom, our own ways, and we have forgotten God. Just as Israel forgot God when they were blessed. We've forgotten God.
Right.
Now listen, I want you to see something here. God was at work in all the subtraction. Now maybe she just saw the creditor. As we look at the story, it sure seems like all she saw was the creditor.
Right.
But God was using the creditor to get her to a point where he could show himself mighty on her behalf.
Right. Amen.
I want you to think with me about something. What was it that God used to provide for her and her family? It's not a trick question. The oil?
Yeah.
And what else? The vessels.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
Got to have the vessels. Got to have the oil. Now, when he told her to go get those vessels, he said, borrow not a few. Get as many as you can. And what was she supposed to do with them?
House.
Bring them in the house.
House.
You're right, Steve.
Yep.
Bring them in the house. Let me ask you a question. How many vessels do you think she'd have been able to get in that house if the creditor hadn't emptied it first? The whole time the creditor is emptying her house, all she's seeing is loss. All she's seeing is subtraction. All she's seeing is, I've lost my husband, now I'm losing my stuff, I'm about to lose my sons. All she's seeing is loss. But God is making room in her life for himself. All the stuff was empty out of her house, and what filled her house? Oil.
Right.
Yep.
You know what God wants to do in our lives? He wants to get the stuff out of our lives so he can fill it with himself.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we don't need all the stuff. We need God.
Yes, sir.
And when we look at things and we see all the rights we're losing and the freedoms and the things of this world that we're losing, and we think we're worse off than we were before. But God is making room to bless us and to provide for us and to guide us and to lead us and to save our children.
Right.
You know, many families have lost their children to stuff.
Right.
Children have been sacrificed on the altar of convenience and the things of this world, materialistic gain. What a blessing it'd be for our homes if God would take some of those things away from us so our eyes would get back on him.
Yeah.
I'm saying God is making a way. He's making room. I don't know what you're going through tonight on a personal level, but I do know this. If you're God's child, he has a plan. He has a purpose. He loves you too much to harm you. And he's too wise to make a mistake. So maybe you're going through a season of loss on a personal level. I would say certainly as a nation, we're going through a season of loss. But instead of crying, instead of throwing up our hands and quitting, let's look to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I believe that you're in control. Because he is. He hasn't lost control. He's still in control. He might be making room for something much better than what you had in there before. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings on us tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to see the truth of your word tonight.
Help us to trust you. Help us to understand that whatever it is our house is filled with, our hearts, our minds, our lives. Maybe it's cares. Maybe it's worries. Whatever it is, it's a sorry substitute for your presence. God, help us to understand that this process of a miracle, this subtraction process, is so crucial and so critical for us to be filled with you. God bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Sarah's going to sing a song she wrote especially for this message. You just be obedient to the Spirit of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're lost, not saved. Your house is filled with all kinds of things, but Jesus isn't in it. And I tell you, the only way to peace and joy is by trusting in what Jesus Christ has done for you. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved, you know you're saved. You're having a hard time going through some loss. Some times of subtraction in your life. Why don't you just come down to this altar and say, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand everything. I don't have all the information, but I trust you, Lord. Help me to trust you. You obey God's Spirit, as Sarah says.
He was making room for blessing. He knew all along. With all those things in your life, you'd never have room for the blessings to come.
Tonight, but maybe as parents, we need to just put our children back on God's altar. Place about